Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you being here. Hello, everyone. We are continuing with Nichiren's... I was going to say deep dive, but he's really kind of doing a summary of the last seven chapters of the essential teachings of the Lotus Sutra. And he spent quite a bit of time on the Dharani chapter here. And I think as he's outlining it, he's pointing out that the Dharani chapter is really focused on the mental influences in samsaric life. Remember, the essential teachings are all about how to practice. And a big part of how we practice Lotus Sutra Buddhism is understanding keenly our mental influences and distractions and the way we can use our minds, our mental acuity, to not only detect and observe those phenomena as they move us around in our world of greed, hunger, and animality, and avarice, and anger, and foolishness, that the practice of Myoho Renge Kyo is ultimately our great filter, I guess filter is a good word to use, that it's a filter that allows us to sieve through all these influences. And, you know, influences, whether you judge them in samsara to be good or bad, is less the issue. Because in this instance, in the essential teachings, good and bad is measured by how you're influenced or can use these energies to promote, support, and enable your capacity to chant, to invoke your Buddha mind. And anything that distracts from that then is bad. So it's a different idea of good and bad for the mind is different than good and bad for the body, right? So anyway, he continues, and we're just about to get out of this summation of the Dharani, and we'll get to the King Wonderful Adornment chapter. So let's finish this up and see where we go. Among the 10 directions, all the people in Japan aspire to the West. Among all the Buddhas, they revere Amida Buddha, and among all practices, they invoke Amida's name. That's the Nembutsu, right? Some make these three concerns their basis, yet engage in other practices, while others devote themselves to the Nembutsu alone. In the more than 20 years since the fifth year of the Kensho era in 1253, up until the present, I have first clarified the Buddha's lifetime teachings in terms of their relative merit, greatly educated through the scholarship of Tendai, Myalo, Dengyo, right? The sequence of preaching, which came first and which is the ultimate, and profundity. And upon that basis, I have asserted the superiority of the Daimoku of the Lotus Sutra over the invocation of the name of Amida Buddha. Quite logically, right? Yet no one, from the ruler on down to the common people, has heeded my words. Not entirely true. He has many, many followers by this time. But point taken, right? They have questioned their teachers about me, appealed to their lords, talked with their companions, and spoken to their wives, children, and retainers, so that rumors concerning me have spread to every province, district, village, and hamlet, as well as to their temples and shrines. As a result, everyone has come to know my name, and they all say that If one compares the Lotus Sutra with the Nembutsu, the Nembutsu is superior and the Lotus Sutra is no match for it, and that other monks are worthy of respect while I am contemptible. So the ruler regards me with hostility, the people have come to hate me, and all Japan has become a great foe of both the Lotus Sutra and its votary. So not Nichiren personally, but his actions as a votary, a truth teller of the Lotus Sutra. But if I say this, not only the people of Japan in general, but also the ignorant among my followers will think that I am inventing groundless falsehoods in an attempt to make people believe me. So even amongst his followers, as he's already pointed out, they're very subject to influence from their friends and their town, country, so on and so forth. And their dedication, their resolve to Lotus Sutra Buddhism through Nichiren's scholarship is weak. And in fact, it's not, as they already pointed out with the Nembutsu, it varies in what they're going to put. I just recently talked to somebody about enshrining a Gwanzen mandala, for instance. And I instructed him to make sure that he put it on a wall that did not include around his altar other aspects of his life, trophies from sports or certificates or posters or anything else that might pull your visual consciousness away from your focused attention to your Buddha. With the mandala and your chanting and so forth, the altar and the place of enshrinement of your mandala must be free of distractions. Visually and orally, if you can put it in a room where it will be safe and you have basically a quiet atmosphere, again, to help you invoke your Buddha, and which wall to put it on, so on and so forth. Also, for those of you who are in the inner circle of sorts in our Sangha, who have emailed me and talked to me about having access to my Dropbox file on Gohonzon, where you can download this accurate digital copy of an actually Nichiren-inscribed Gohonzon near the end of his life, one of the final Gohonzons that mandalas that he created for universal dispersal for all people to attain enlightenment, attain their awakening. This has no other erroneous signatures on it. It doesn't have particular sectarian attachments, none of that. This is direct from the hand of Nichiren. So to me, to my mind, it's the most correct, most pure embodiment of Nichiren's enlightenment in the creation of this mandala. So I have a high resolution image available in my Dropbox for those who would like to have this mandala of Gohonzon. And I've also, yesterday, I included a PDF of this book that I have on my bookstore, the liturgy, and it has a different image now because there's a group of researchers that have done excellent research on all of the extant Nichiren mandalas, and they have a website and publications. I encourage you, if you're interested in the history of this mandala, and specifically Nichiren's created mandalas. There are, to date, I know of 125 extant versions, from the very simple that he made personal mandalas for, to the more evolved, more universal, up to this one that he created. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to see where they're collected, who has these extant scrolls. They're beautiful. But if you're interested in that sort of thing, you want to look into it. And one of the images I used on this book, and I later took it off of here and put, I think, basically that, my medallion for our school, our Sangha. Because the gentleman who claims copyright, or copyright, Nichiren is the copyright holder, but anyway, he published this image and he didn't like that I used it, so rather than contest his feelings toward that, I just took it off. So the book, but the book title is the same. It's the liturgy, and the reason that I did this is it's not that it's a great deal difference in this portion, but in this area, it's very cleaned up and true to Nichiren's teachings, without, you know, sectarian bias or organizations, not worshiping SGI or anybody else. It's simply Namo Myōren Geikyo and the teachings of the Lotus Sutra through the scholarship of Nichiren. And that's what I have back here. That's why the word prayer isn't used either. So it's a focused mental exercise, which is what we use meditation for now. Meditation is a very old word, predates Buddhism, but I'm not talking about those kinds of meditations. I'm talking about, strictly speaking, meditation being an inward our invocation of our Buddha mind. So that means looking inward, where, as Nichiren says, is where the Gohonzon lies. So anyway, what was I talking about this book for?
Anyway,
okay, enough said on that. I included a PDF of that entire book with the high-res images of the mandala, this final mandala. So if you're interested, that's kind of your Buddha kick. All right, and for those of you who would rather just purchase a copy, I like having a book in my hands. I don't like reading on screen. There are links on threefoldlotus.com. Go to books, and that'll take you to my lulu.com/kun store, where, or is it Cafe Press? Look on the website. Both links will take you. I think all my books are through lulu.com. And you can get your own copy, as well as order a print of this Gohonzon. If you don't have a high quality printer, you can't feed rice paper through it or whatever, you can order one pre-printed for you. So, of course, if you go to the print shop, there'll be a fee. It costs money to paper and ink and print and ship and all that. But I'm not getting rich off of it, that's for sure. All right, so let's finish this up. I got on a tangent there. Sorry about that. Lotus Sutra, it compares one for the other. I'm contemptible. But I say, I'm my followers. I'm inventing groundless. I am saying all this, however, for the benefit of those men and women who believe in the principles of Buddhism. And again, I'm going to harp on this because I'm getting some backlash from some people who still insist that Nichiren is Buddha and that they practice basically Nichiren Buddhism. And that's just plain wrong. And here he is saying, I am saying all this, however, for the benefit of those men and women who believe in the principles of Buddhism. Buddhism, not Nichiren. Not Shakyamuni, Buddhism. And I will leave it to them to judge for themselves. Because, as I often repeat, Nichiren's whole, I've read hundreds of Goshos out loud now. and we've talked about this, or I've talked about this, and we've participated. Shakyamuni invented Buddhism. It did not exist before Shakyamuni. Shakyamuni is the creator, inventor, discoverer of this essential teaching, Myoho Rengekyo. He's the author of it. He's the first promoter. In the last 3,000 years before him, there was not anyone talking about Buddha or Buddhism. And his whole mission and teaching, his whole life, Shakyamuni's, was to teach everyone how to attain what he had attained. And he realized early on, we've talked about this before, Shakyamuni taught what enlightenment was like, and everybody looked at him with like complete disbelief, unable to understand what he was describing. And then he considered, oh yeah, it took me 6 or 7 years to get here. What I have to do is teach each aspect that I learned on my way to finally realizing Buddha. So all of the teachings prior to the Lotus Sutra, and even the beginning of the Lotus Sutra, are build upon each other to increase our capacity to do exactly what he had done. And Myoho Rengekyo are not far from magic words, are words that describe, prescribe, envelop the entirety of the teachings. In other words, the entirety of the path that Shakyamuni took to realize enlightenment. That's why we chant Myoho Rengekyo. That's why we have this mandala. This is the benefit of Nichiren. Nichiren is a great bodhisattva. He is a leader of the bodhisattvas of the earth, you and I. He says so in his own words in Gosho's, where he compares himself to bodhisattva superior practices. He never claims it outright, but he asks the question, could I be that guy? Because I am definitely a votary of the Lotus Sutra, and look at all the consequences I'm experiencing. They're exactly as what is described by Shakyamuni in his sutra. So I seem to be that guy. But understand that these emanations of Buddha, of Shakyamuni, are mental conjurings of personages that are more than placeholders, but they're conceptual containers of the manifestation of these energies, that like you and I are. We are manifestations of energy. And Shakyamuni knew that in the latter day of the law, when this mess of confusion and distraction is going on, there will be a person in this time who will accomplish and fit the bill, so to speak, who will do these things, and they're sure to incur this kind of wrath and resistance because they will be shaking up the improper, erroneous views and thoughts of the masses. And sure enough, Nichiren finds himself in that category, that placement. So this is why Nichiren sees himself as the votary of the Lotus Sutra, because nobody else is doing it, and he's convinced, so he fits the bill. And we're still in that era of time, that 10,000 year period in the latter day of the law, where our capacity is being confronted constantly by distraction, and we need this tool, this mandala, this chant of Myoho Rengekyo, on top of all of the scholarship, in order to shake loose of all these distractions to realize our Buddha. This is the benefit and wonder of the advent of the votary of the Lotus Sutra, which for us is Nichiren. But it's not his Buddhism that he's describing and helping us realize. It's Shakyamuni's. It's the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha's own words. We practice Shakyamuni Buddha's Buddhism. But if you really want to be critical, we practice our Buddhism, your Buddhism, Because this Buddha, this path, as Shakyamuni taught for 40 some years, 50, if you include the Lotus Sutra, when he uses words like innumerable, unfathomable, because it's innumerable because we are an ever-changing, growing quantity that continuously replenishes itself. And each one of us has a particular path, a particular set of insights that push us forward into our accomplishment of Buddha, our achievement of Buddha. We all share knowledge about it, and we all talk about it, and we all understand our discussions in our own way. That's innumerable paths, right? Shakyamuni knew this from the get-go. He may not have, when he preached the Avatamsaka, the flower garland, the first, or the Kigon, if you know it in the Japanese title. But as soon as he backed off of that, everything he taught was this conceptual largesse, respecting each individual's pattern to attain capacity and invoke their Buddha. This is Buddhism. So when Nichiren says, who believe in the principles of Buddhism, he's talking about the entirety of Buddhism and his scholarship of how that is to be practiced. So he's a great bodhisattva, no doubt. But he doesn't replace Shakyamuni. He's not teaching anything new. He's teaching Shakyamuni's Buddhism. All right. Now, the King Wonderful Adornment chapter of the Lotus Sutra is especially applicable to women, for it explains how a wife encouraged her husband in the latter age as well. Though her name may differ, a wife who leads her husband to take resolute mind in will enjoy the same benefits as Lady Pure Virtue of the stories. All the more fortunate is a case like yours, remember he's talking to a grandmother, a lay nun, in which both wife and husband have resolve and conviction, right? So obviously she and her husband were practicing Lotus Sutra Buddhism under the auspices of Nichiren's guidance and teachings of the Lotus Sutra, not of Nichiren. It is like a bird possessing two wings or a cart having two wheels. What is there that you two cannot achieve? Because there is a heaven and earth, and an earth, a sun and a moon, the sun shines and the rain falls, and the plants and trees of benefit will surely blossom and bear fruit. So, interesting. So that's all he has to say on that chapter. So you can see it's a very cursory overview, especially after we went through pages of description on the Dharani chapter, which is a lot more about the human experience and our influences. Here he basically says King Wonderful Adornment is about the benefits of practicing, the rewards of practice. And certainly because it has a story in it about a particular woman, she can take a lot from that chapter, from her relationship with her husband, since that both of them followed Nichiren's doctrine of Lotus Sutra Buddhism. Next, we come to the encouragements chapter. Though there were many monks among the disciples of Shakyamuni Buddha, Mahakasyapa and Ananda always accompanied him on his right and left, just like the ministers of the right and left who attend the ruler. This was when the Buddha expounded the Hinayana Sutras, early teachings. Moreover, among all the innumerable bodhisattvas, Universal Worthy and Manjushri were distinguished as the ministers of the right and left. of Shakyamuni Buddha. It was strange, therefore, that Bodhisattva Universal Worthy, one of Shakyamuni's two ministers, should be absent during the 8 years when the Buddha expounded the Lotus Sutra, which surpasses all other sutras of his lifetime teachings. In the ceremony where the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the Ten Directions gathered in numbers exceeding those of the dust particles of the land. See that hyperbole? That's innumerable again. Because we track population, right? We say that we're on track now to get to 8 billion pretty quickly, people on the planet. But people die, new people come. So although superficially we can say there's 8 billion humans on the planet, this number doesn't describe the constant rate of turnover, right? If we were to take a 100-year period and say, okay, how many humans have existed during that 100-year period as new independent beings, let alone all the ones that have passed away in that 100-year period, the number would be much larger, right? As many as dust particles, right? But when the King Wonderful Adornment chapter had been expounded and the preaching of the Lotus Sutra was drawing to a close, Bodhisattva Universal Worthy came hurrying belatedly from the land of the Buddha, King Purity of Jeweled Dignity and Virtue in the East, accompanied by the sounds of 10,000 million musical instruments and leading a retinue of countless numbers of the eight kinds of non-human beings, probably fearing the Buddha's displeasure at his tardy arrival, he assumed a serious expression and pledged in all earnest to protect the votaries of the Lotus Sutra in the latter age. The Buddha, no doubt pleased with Universal Worthy's extraordinary sincerity in vowing to spread the Lotus Sutra throughout the continent of Jambudvipa, the world, thereupon praised him more warmly, in fact, than he had earlier praised the other bodhisattvas of higher rank. It is no ordinary thing for a woman in the latter age to have resolved to make an offering to each of the 28 chapters of this wonderful Lotus Sutra. At the ceremony of the Treasure Tower chapter, the Thus Come One Many Treasures and Shakyamuni, the Buddhas of the Ten Directions, and all Bodhisattvas gathered together. When I ponder where this Treasure Tower chapter is now, I see that it exists in the eight-petaled lotus flower of the heart within the breast of Nichinyo, which is who he's writing this letter to. So, high praise indeed, taking conceptual language of Buddhism about mental states, life condition, and embodying it into the heart of Nichinyo. So high praise indeed. He's really indicating to her that she is practicing correctly the teachings of Buddhism. This is like the lotus seed containing the lotus flower within it, or a consort carrying a crown prince in her womb. When someone having observed the 10 good precepts is destined to be born a crown prince and awaits his birth in the consort's womb, the heavenly deities will protect him. That is why a crown prince is called the Son of Heaven. Each of the 69,384 characters of the 28 chapters of the Lotus Sutra is like a crown prince and is the seed of Buddha. So, lest you get caught up in the imagery of that, he's basically saying that the Lotus Sutra is a culmination of all of Shakyamuni's teachings. That each character of the Lotus Sutra is in itself a cause for Buddha, because it is built on all this previous scholarship. So the meaning, the path, the description of Shakyamuni to us, ordinary folk, of his path toward this Myoho Rengekyo. Is this, is all of it, all of the teachings, this is the import of the Lotus Sutra. On its own, it represents his aha moment, his realization of Buddha. But to get to that point, for all of us ordinary people, we are exposed through all of the different mental states and conjurings to describe and dissect the way our minds work in order for us to break through the obstacles of illusion, the obstacles of attachment, the obstacles of craving, the formation of craving. If we can cease that formation of craving, that instantiation in our mind that just wants, 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 we can detach, not destroy, but detach from those, from that deep need to have, and replace it with the knowing that it's been there all, there is nothing to have, just experience everything for what it is, which is impermanent, fleeting, and a wonderful expression of this process of life. Right? This is why the lifespan chapter is so important, and Nichiren talks about it so much, is because when Shakyamuni finally tells all of his students, look, you think I, me, am Buddha, but I'm not. This Buddha has been realized since time immemorial. Has nothing to do with me, the body, Shakyamuni, or Siddhartha Gautama. I'm just a man like you. I'm human like you. But I can transcend this humanness, this samsara condition, to witness, experience, and describe a path to this enlightenment. And that is my Buddha. And I live in it now, every moment. But it has, I live in it now every moment because it has been here every moment. It's just a matter of realizing it, changing your perception, detaching from everything that's keeping you from experiencing it. Not annihilating everything, but ending your attachment to it. That formation of attachment is what keeps you in the human condition. If you can just move that formation aspect to the side, you can have everything without stricture or fanaticism, obsession or suffering or any of that. You can just experience it. It's hard to put into words. This is like the lotus seed containing the lotus flower within it, or a consort carrying a crown prince in her room. Because we all have the Buddha nature, the Buddha mind, right? It's not a human trait, it's a mind trait. There are shadows in the darkness, but people cannot discern them, right? We move around in the dark. We still cast a shadow, but our eyes are not able to discern the shadow from the darkness. But still there, just like our Buddha nature. There are trails in the sky where birds fly, but people cannot recognize them. Right? We know this just from watching great shows on nature, talking about ants and bees and how they all seem, even though a bee travels all zigzagging all over the place to get to flowers to pollinate, the other bees will follow that same exact path. They won't find a shortcut or look for a shortcut. They may find a shortcut, but then the other ones will just follow that. How do they do that? What did they do in the sky? What did they do in the air? We don't see it. That's the limitation of our human condition. But they're there, just like our Buddha nature, our Buddha mind. There are paths in the sea along which fish swim, but people cannot perceive them. All people and things of the four continents are reflected in the moon without a single exception, but people cannot see them. But they are visible to the heavenly eye, the wisdom of Buddha. In like manner, ordinary people cannot see that the treasure tower chapter exists within the body of Nichiryo. But Shakyamuni, many treasures, and the Buddhas of the Ten Directions perceive it. I, Nichiren, also presume this to be the case. How praiseworthy! Now, I'm going to point something out once again to those who still want to adhere to that propaganda out there that Nichiren is the original Buddha. Listen to what he says. He says, the Buddhas of the Ten Directions perceive it. They can see the Buddha nature, the treasure tower, the Gohonzon, in every living thing, every sentient being, and insentient, but to the point of this story. He's talking to Nichiryo, and he's saying, you have within you the treasure tower. All Buddhas can see it. I, Nichiren, not being a Buddha, I, Nichiren, also presume this to be the case. So he's sold. He understands, each of us, like I do, that each of us has Myoho Renge Kyo. I presume it to be. But I don't see it directly like Buddhas do. Because again, I, Nichiren, a man who is tasked with the mission of votary of the Lotus Sutra, am a great teacher, a great facilitator, a great, another word for all that, bodhisattva, helping everyone to attain their Buddha mind. King Wen of the Chao dynasty was victorious in battle because he took care to provide for elderly people. Nichiryo is elderly. During the 37 reigns spanning 800 years in which his descendants ruled, there was some incidents of misgovernment. But on the whole, the Chao dynasty prospered due to that fundamental virtue. King Ajatashatru, through a most evil man, though a most evil man, was able to hold the throne for 90 years owing to the merit of his father, King Bimbisara, who had made offerings to the Buddha for several years. The same principles hold true today. I do not think the present regime will last long, as it opposes the Lotus Sutra. Yet, probably because of the excellent leadership of the late acting administrator and the former governor of Musashi, who became a lay priest or lay monk, it appears to be secure for the time being. But in this case, too, the present government will eventually collapse if it continues its enmity toward the Lotus Sutra. The government officials mistakenly think that while the Nembutsu monks are friendly to the Lotus Sutra, Nichiren is hostile to the Nembutsu, and they claim to be, in both teachings, I, Nichiren, say in rebuttal, if nothing is vitally wrong with the present government, then why have such unprecedented epidemics, famines, and wars broken out? Why have the authorities twice subjected the votary of the Lotus Sutra to grave punishment without allowing him to confront the other schools in open debate? How pitiful, how unfortunate. So the powers that be, the elite, are doing everything they can to keep Nichiren quiet, while the Nembutsu monks are saying, oh yeah, we know Nichiren and Lotus Sutra, yeah, that's cool. But their mouths are not mirroring their actions, right? That's just politic. Even under such circumstances, As a woman, you have inherited the life of the Lotus Sutra, Nichiren. In fact, if you have inherited the life of the parents of Shakyamuni, many treasures, and the Buddhas of the Ten Directions, is there anyone else in the entire land of Jambudvipa who possesses such good fortune? With my deep respect, Nichiren. So, in her struggles, Nichiren has been a consistent supporter of Nichiren, along with her husband. She's experienced loss of grandchildren, loss of sons. She, you know, like everyone else in Japan, she's also suffered through the famines and all of the civil wars and so forth going through Japan. And, you know, in that kind of a situation, you know, we today have our own situation. We have enormous, innumerable amounts of propaganda weighing on our consciousness all the time. You know, when will nuclear war happen? When will North Korea decide it needs to spread its fanaticism? When will the world right now is so unstable and so angry, right? Very divided from the fanatically devout politically to the iconoclasts and the rebellions and the intellectuals who see the things wrong but are powerless or don't exercise power in order to overturn the authoritarianism and dictatorship of the day, which is just growing throughout the world. We've witnessed a lot in our respective countries of just just this pandemic that we've been going through has really shown us the division of mentality in people, right? Whatever you want to call it, from fake news to willful ignorance. How could we even say those two words together? Willful ignorance. Think deeply about what that implies. Think about the nature of attachment in that statement. Think about how forcefully people delude themselves without ever questioning what they think or what they believe. It's very frightening. We live in a very unstable time. And there's every indication that it's going to get worse. How do we find hope? I don't normally like that word, but I think it can be used for a Westerner here. In other words, how can we find some positive, life-affirming truth to motivate us forward, to motivate our lives, to work toward a truth? How can we idly say happiness when so much of the world is about misery and power and violence? It's tough. And I say all of this because I believe that as we focus on our mandalas and chant Namo Myoho Kyo, we are doing something exceptional, something truly, truly rewarding and difficult in the face of all these obstacles of a human condition. It's heroic. It's heroic to practice Myoho Renge Kyo. So I strongly encourage you to keep working heroically to attain your Buddha-ness. All right? And that is the end of that Gosho. I'll see you in the next one, I hope. You can download this like any of these videos as oral podcasts from wherever you get your podcast. The Buddhahood Podcast is the name of the podcast. I hope you do so. I think for a lot of us, we're very busy people, and having something we can listen to while we do other things that we can gain inspiration from, which I hope this helps create that for you. It's very popular. It's had thousands of downloads, the podcast itself. So thank you for that. Thank you for the support. You know, you see it in the placards in this video, so I don't need to do the YouTuber thing. Just know that I deeply appreciate your participation and your support. I certainly, this channel doesn't exist without you guys, so thank you. Namo myoho renge kyo. Till the next time. Bye for now.